We like to say we appreciate the privilege and opportunity to be back in the house of the Lord this morning. We're glad to have you. It's in our midst, and trust and pray that you'll pray for us for just a minute. Might be able to get ourselves out of the way. Do that, we feel the Lord's laid on our hearts. If you don't read along with us this morning, we're going to read some out of the book of 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. Second Corinthians, the 5th chapter. We're going to start with the first verse. We'll probably read the entire chapter this morning. Starting with the first verse says, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we know that for we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that you may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then were all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now, then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now, maybe correctly reading, that's the fifth chapter of 2 Corinthians. And I know this morning this is some familiar scripture, and you've read it, and you've probably heard it preached on many be the time. But I got just a thought we'd like to leave with us this morning, God being my helper. Bible teaches us, and before I get started, I would like to say I appreciate the service this morning. I really do. I appreciate everything that's been said and done. Jeff done said that from the prayer room all the way through Sunday school and up to this point. It's been good. It's been real good. And I appreciate Bruce. I appreciate him just minding the Lord, doing that God laid on his heart this morning. And I'll just be honest with you, it goes further a lot of times than we think. And a lot of times we think we're doing no good. But the Lord knows how to turn even the least little thing into good. And not just good, he'll turn it into a big thing. And it'll become a big thing if you'll let it. Most certainly will. This scripture teaches us and talks to us. He starts out, he said, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And then he said, for this we groan. For this we groan. There's a groaning. You may not understand altogether, but there's a groaning for us, my friend, to be without this carcass or without this carnal man. You may not understand that altogether, but if there's anything spiritual about you, if you've ever been born again by the Spirit of God, my friend, there is something that groans to be loosed. Something that wants to be free. It most certainly does. The Bible teaches us here, and I'm just going to try my best to mind the Lord. I want to talk to us a little more out of the 17th and the 18th verse, if I may, this morning. And I don't mind telling you there's more in this than I'll ever get out. But I'll reread these verses, but I'm going to reread the 16th verse as well. It says, wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. He says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Reconciliation. There's something, my friend, that God has done for us that we could not do for ourselves. There's something we know. We hear this, we preach this, and we believe this, my friend, that no man can save himself. It takes the Spirit of God, the blood of God. My friend, it takes a man, woman, boy, or girl giving their heart unto God. Broken, broken, contrite. Brethren, when God touches a heart and He deals with you this morning, thank God, just give in and let Him have His way this morning. He'll save you. He'll save you. He most certainly will. There's nothing hard on His part. My friend, when it comes to salvation, He has already paid that of the sin debt. He paid it for us. He's paid it for you. And brethren, it's to be accepted by man today. It most certainly is. There's nothing, my friend, too hard for God. There's nothing, my friend, the Bible even says in the days of Abraham. He asked Abraham, he said, is there anything too hard for God? Anything too hard for me? Brethren, there's nothing that God's not able to do. Brethren, if me and you would just believe from the heart. And you've got to believe from the heart. Yes, you do. You've got to believe from the heart. These things, my friend, the Scripture says here, it teaches us. If you've been reconciled unto God, then old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Brethren, I'm living in a new world since the Lord saved me. Ain't you? Ain't you? Preacher, I don't know where I'm living in a new world or not. Brethren, old things are passed away. There's nothing that God's not able to overcome in our lives. Brethren, if we had just give Him control. There's things, brethren, that people say today that maybe it's too hard for God. Maybe God can't figure out and fix my problem. You know, most of the time we think we got problems that God just can't fix. We got problems. Why do we think that? We think that because our number one thought is that I've got no way to fix this. No way. Brethren, when you try it on your own, you are going to fail this morning. Yes, you are. It takes the Spirit of God. It takes the love of God. It takes the compassion of God. And brethren, it takes you letting God have control. Yes, sir. That what you said this morning, Bruce? All. Give Him all. Don't hold back anything. We think a lot of times that it's just a small amount. But brethren, Bruce said this morning, that small amount, thank God, would make the greater amount. Would it not? Brethren, a lot of times we think that we've got to do things our way. Our way. Not God's way, but our way this morning. Folks, we're not ignorant to the fact
You've been around enough of the house of God to know that God is real this morning. Amen. Yes, He is. He's real. We sang a song. He's real. I know He's real because He's real in my heart. There's things, my friend, that I would to God we could get rid of. There's things in our lives. A lot of times, I thought as Bruce was talking this morning, my friend, most of the time we're willing to go the 99 and a half. That song says, I'm running, Lord, to make 100. I'm running, Lord, to make 100. 99 and a half will not do. It won't do. It never has done. Think about it. I think about the scripture where it says the good seed was sowed. And some brought forth 30, some brought forth 60, and some brought forth 100. You say, preacher, I just don't know that I can bring forth 100. You know what your 100 is? It might be 30. Huh? It might just be 30. That good seed was sowed. It was all good seed, Mike, but it all brought forth different quantities. It still works that way. Folks, you let the Spirit of God move you. Thank God, you'd be surprised what you bring forth. Woo! Yes, you would. If 30 is 100 for you, bring forth 30. I'm going to say this. If 30's your 100, 29 won't do. You hear that? It's the same as 99 and a half won't do. It's got to be all of it. We don't want to give all. That's most of our problem. We don't want to give all. We all want to hang on to something. I've got news for you. This scripture is talking about that old being passed away. And behold, all things are become new. He didn't stop there. He said, I am a new creature in Christ Jesus. I am a new creature in Christ Jesus. Brethren, if the Word of God does not change you, brethren, you cannot be changed. Amen. Just what I'll say. Brethren, there's something I don't know about you. It still works this way. I promise you. It still works this way. Brethren, when I was lost and undone without God, I didn't hear a lot of messages that was preached to me that I was going to hell. You know why I didn't? I already knowed I was going to hell. Yes, sir. Why, preacher, they used to preach it all the time. I know what you're talking about. But if God's dealt with that heart, you don't have to be told where you're going. Most of the folks today, my friend, knows exactly where they're headed. Amen. Yes, sir. I can't help it. We live in the Bible Belt of the world. Yes, we do. And brethren, we're far away from God in this Bible Belt. Yes, sir. But I'll promise you one thing, God's still alive. Amen. Yes, he is. God's still alive. There's some things, brethren, in the Word of God that we just need to let change our lives this morning. It'll do it. It'll do it. It'll work on you. It'll change your ways of thinking. How in the world can you become a new creature in Christ? Try him. Try him. Huh? I'll promise you, we had testimony meeting not too many services ago. Didn't we, Leroy? Yes, sir. We've all got a little bit of something different. We've all got our aspect of how salvation, how we got a hold of it, or how it got a hold of us. That's the main thing. Yes, sir. But when I went to the house of God, I've told you before, but I'm going to tell it again. Brother, my mother got saved simply because she worked around women that was church women. Yeah. And them women got to talking. Best I can find out, they didn't stay on her. But she had sat there and they'd get to talking, and all these women went to church. And they know what they're talking about. Huh? My mother felt just like a fish out of the pond. Amen. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Had no clue. Listen. Well, they talked enough, my friend, that her interest, her curiosity, brethren, come about. Yes, sir. She went to church. She went one time. Come Sunday morning, she went back. Sunday night, she went back. Another Wednesday night or so, she went. Sunday, she went. One Wednesday night. I remember it was Wednesday night. It's all I remember. Don't know dates, nothing like that.
Bless him, Lord.
On Thursday morning, brethren, see, we got up to go to school. Now, not that our mother didn't cook. She would cook every now and again, but this morning she was up and ready and cooking. It was all on the table, sitting ready. We sat down to eat, and she said, "We're going to say the blessing." We hadn't been doing it. Anyway, she said the blessing, and we're sitting there eating. She got up and she come around, just hugged me. Said, "Randy," said, "I love you." And said, "I want you to know the Lord saved me last night." Something to that effect. That's what happened. I had two sisters. Then my mother and my two sisters started going to church. Rocked on there, month or two. I don't know how long, but a while. Daddy didn't go, and I didn't go. As long as he wasn't going, I wasn't going. I was 15 years old. I didn't know what was going on. One night, my dad worked down at Lockheed, and he was working long hours at this time, and he got up very early. 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning. He went to bed very early. Mother and him was going to meeting. Daddy called me in there at the bedside, and he said, "Son," he said, "I don't know what's happened to your mother." Little did I know, God was dealing with him. You hear me? God was dealing with him. I didn't know it. He said, I don't know what's happened to your mother. Said, she loves that church and them preachers and them folks more than she does me. That didn't bother me too much. He said, and I'm leaving. He'd had all he could handle. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. This is on a Wednesday night. Yes, sir. Lo and behold, Thursday morning about 2 o'clock, my daddy got down beside his bed and got saved. You know that? Yeah. I know that. I know what happened. I lived in the household. Saved. Crafton, I didn't know what saved was. No, sir, I didn't know what that meant. Come Sunday morning, here we go. And I went. Right along with them. Couldn't stay at home. Daddy wasn't at home.
That ended.
Daddy, anyway. First service I ever been in. Baptist church. Old country preacher. Got up and preached. I thought to myself, I said, that man's a madman. Mm-hmm. He don't know what he's talking about.
Yeah.
Cool. And I really did. I'm 15 year old. I know what's going on.
Yeah.
More than he does. I didn't hear one word that man said. I couldn't tell you what he preached on. I couldn't. But you know what? There's something got a hold of me. You say, preacher, you mean that you didn't know what he preached on? There's something got a hold of me. That day. I laid my head on my pillow at night. Brethren, that night I had some thoughts. Yes, sir, I had a big problem. I realized if I died in that condition, I was going to hell. That's what I realized. Yes, sir. Preacher, how could you do that and didn't know what he preached on? There's a spirit that's accompanied that. Yes, sir. I'm honest as I can be this morning. Brethren, there's something that changes your life. When Jesus comes in, old things are passed away. I lived in the Jackson house, I know. My daddy cussed. My daddy drank. Yes, sir. About 40-year-old when he got saved. You know what happened? The cussing stopped. The drinking stopped. Yes, sir. Old things passed away. He didn't miss a Sunday night nor Wednesday night. No matter how early he got up.
Amen.
You hear me? Something changed, didn't it? Rocked on. We had Wednesday night meeting was prayer meeting. And Wednesday night prayer meeting, somebody'd read scripture and the congregation get up and testify. That's what they done. And how no preacher? Well, this Wednesday night, September 1970, I remember it like it was yesterday. We went to church. We was looking for everybody to get up and testify. I was in trouble, folks. I'm talking about trouble, but I had to go. I didn't have a choice. We was going to church. I sat about 3/4 of the way back in the pew. Brother Carlton Rogers, our pastor, he got up and he preached. This night, he preached. And I'll say again, I don't know altogether what he preached, Bruce. I really don't. But he preached. And when he finished preaching, he gave an altar call.
Amen.
And I stood back there just a shaking. I mean literally shaking. Preacher, all this got something to do. I'm going to tell you something. You don't have to get the Lord like I did. But I'll promise you one thing. You'll never get saved till you become lost. Lost. Undone. Preacher, can I ask you a question? It's a simple question, but can I ask you this question? This morning, if you died in the condition you're in right now, where would you spend eternity? Where? I got through that verse. I stood there and I said to myself, I said, if they sing another verse, I'm going. And I sitting there, I had it all figured out. What's the chances of them singing another verse? They don't ever sing one verse on Wednesday night. Brother Carlton, he said a few more words. Bob Langley was choir director. He looked at Bob and they said, Bob said, I want you to sing one more verse.
Yeah.
Reckon why that was. Preacher, them things just happen. No, they don't. No, they don't. I'm going to be as honest as I can be. I don't know altogether what happened between here and there. But I left her. I come out. I went down that altar. I did. I remember asking the Lord to save me, but I'm going to be honest with you. I don't remember much more than that. Preacher, you didn't see no big light. No, I didn't get up shouting. No, none of that. People would get testifying. They'd talk about seeing lights and hearing trains and all kinds of things. Yes, sir. Big sounds. Huh? I got up that night. I told my testimony. And before I reached the back door, the devil done told me, said, now ain't nobody go school you here.
Yeah.
Said, you done told these people you're saved. Said, that's good enough. Mm. I agreed with him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I was shy anyway. I didn't want to talk. Shy. There's a point, brethren. There's a point. This is what Paul preached. This is what Paul said. He says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature.
Amen.
Now, it wasn't anything, brethren, that would change a man like the Lord.
Amen.
Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Brethren, there's nothing that me or you, either one, can do that can fix our heart. Do you hear me? That can fix our heart. Except humble yourself before God.
Amen.
If you'll humble yourself before God, He'll hear you.
Amen.
Yes, He will. Not only will He hear you, brethren, He will make a new creature out of you. I am a new creature in Christ Jesus. That's the only way this morning that this thing works. It is. It's the only way. There's things in this scripture you can go back and see, and men of old that had good hearts in them, God loved them, and they believed in God, and that's by their faith is how they made it. You know what the scripture teaches us? That you are saved, what? By grace through faith. Not of works. Not of works, lest any man should boast. What does he mean? He means that you cannot work your way into salvation.
Amen.
You can't do it.
Amen.
Preacher, I'm working my way to heaven. You'll never make it. You're going to fall short. The Bible says, Christ himself says, I am the door. If any man climb up any other way, the same is a thief and a robber. Is that not right? A thief and a robber. You may think this morning, and I don't know what you think, just to be honest with you. But the truth of it is that if a new creature has been born in you, it's of God and not man.
Amen.
You can't make somebody new. You can't do it. Well, preacher, I believe I can teach people enough. No, you can't. You can't do that. The Bible says here, and this is what Paul's message, my friend, was. He talked about that if this earthly tabernacle dissolved, he had a house. He had a house, an eternal house in the heavens. Eternal. Now, a lot of times we think that eternal starts after a while. That's not the fact. You know when eternal life began in my life? 1970. Huh? That Wednesday night. Yes, sir. I come down. Prayed. Give him my heart. Give him my life. Give him all. I'm going to tell you something, folks. You know how quick that can happen? Just like that.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to tell you something else. I never have had the fear of dying without him.
Amen.
No, sir.
Amen.
Never have.
Amen.
Never have, my friend, worried about going to hell anymore. Preacher, why is that? Because I'm a new creature.
Amen.
Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. We sang a song. I thought I'd read you some of it, and I might not. We sang a song right out of this church hymnal. It says, I'm living in a new world since the Lord saved me. Huh? I'm living in a new world since the Lord saved me. Folks, you ain't got to wait till you get over yonder.
Amen.
To live in a new world.
Amen.
You best get familiar with it here.
Amen.
Here, this is the dressing room.
Amen.
This is the place that your heart, my friend, gets pricked and your heart yes, give to God, or you will bust hell wide open.
Amen.
Preacher, people don't preach like that anymore, and they don't want to hear about hell. There's one or two places. One or two.
That's right.
I know. You say, preacher, hell ain't the final. No, the lake of fire is the final. That's the second death. The lake of fire. Yes, it is. But when men was preaching about hell, that's what they was talking about. Eternal separation.
Yep.
Yes, sir. Eternal separation from God. Preacher, I hear him. He talks to me. But do you know him on a personal level?
Do you know him? You know, these men throughout the scriptures, you want to look at it and read and study and find out about it. My friend, they were men that God talked to that wouldn't save men. They is men that God listened to that wouldn't save men. Ahab was one of them. Ahab, the Bible says that Ahab was more wicked than any king before him or after him. That's how wicked the man was. But God got his attention. And the Bible says that he cried unto God and he repented and God heard him. Preacher, he was a wicked man. God heard him. He got his heart in a condition. Brethren, that God heard his plea. And the Lord said, told him, I'll say this. Scripture don't say this. But the thing about Ahab is that you see no change after this. He said, Ahab, I'll not bring this in your day, but he said, I'm going to bring it in your son's day.
Yeah.
Elijah had done told him what was going to happen, did he? Told him exactly what happened to him and Jezebel both. And it happened. Yes, sir, it happened. It come to pass. Preacher, why is that? God heard his cry, but the truth of it is Ahab didn't follow on with his part. No, sir. Didn't follow along. What's a great city? Nineveh. Great city, Nineveh. 3 days' journey took to get through it. Great city. God sent them a message.
Yeah.
Their wickedness, their sins had come before God. And God sent a man down to Nineveh. You know what the Bible says? wrote in the New Testament. It says, the men of Nineveh shall rise up against this generation in judgment. For they repented.
Amen.
At the preaching of Jonah. Is that not right? God sent them a message. They repented. Listen, it's not hard to figure out this morning. It's not. I don't believe the Lord has changed one bit between 1970 and now. I don't believe he's changed any between 1800 and now.
Amen.
Do you? I don't believe, my friend, that he's changed in 2000 B.C. and now. I don't believe he's changed since Noah's day. I don't believe he's changed since Adam's day. Think about it. Go back as far as you want to go. God's had a plan for man, and he expects man to come to the plan. If you can't come to the plan, then you're not one of his. I don't know this morning. I know I've been scattered. I know I've been here and there. And I am. I love that song. I'm living in a new world since the Lord saved me. Paul wasn't talking out of order. He went on to say and talked about the reconciliation of man and how that God has reconciled all man unto himself. Reconciled. In other words, he took care of the problem. Separation all the way down through the ages of time. There was separation between man and God. Yes, they were.
Bible says David was a man after God's own heart. It was preached just one night this week, talking about the building, my friend. That David wanted to build him a house. David wanted to build him a house. You say, preacher, you'd think that a man after God's own heart, God would have led him. He said, you cannot build me a house. You have shed too much blood. David was a warrior. Yes, sir. God blessed him. And he was a man after God's own heart. But he told him, he said, your son will build it. But he allowed David to get everything ready. Yes, sir. Everything ready to build the house. But Solomon built it. Did he not? Can I tell you something? As is preached the other night, that house don't mean nothing. It doesn't. Preacher, what do you mean? That was the most magnificent thing that there was. The truth of it is, it ain't wouldn't the magnificence of the building. And it was Solomon's prayer. Lord, what did he ask him? He said, Lord, you put your name in this place. If any man look toward this place, stranger, Israelite, didn't matter, they'll look toward this place, would you hear them? That was the question. God said, I'll hear them. Huh? I'll put my name there. But God didn't dwell there. He didn't dwell there. I believe Solomon said even in his prayer, the heaven of heavens can't contain thee, much less this house. But listen, they come a day. God built his house, didn't he? God built his house. Folks, it ain't these four walls. Amen. No, sir. This beautiful, beautiful sanctuary.
Yes, Lord.
Nothing wrong with it. Place we come to where we can worship. Yeah. I believe God will put his presence right in the midst. Yeah. But you know why I believe that? It's because that God's in the house.
Amen.
That he built. Yeah. And not man. A house not built with hands. He's in the heart. The heart of every one of us this morning. I want to come and get a verse of a song. That's the message. Old things are passed away. And behold, all things are become new.